SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I am your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow Casey Bubba, who's joining me as always in hour three, at BDentric on the Twitter machine. And we are rocking and rolling here. But Bubba, I got to ask you a very important question to start this third hour here. And the Welsh and I discussed this at the top of hour two. Are announcer curses a thing? Is that a real thing, or is that a bunch of nonsense that you roll your eyes at?
I guess it's a thing when it affects your team. No, it's a it's a tough question, because in reality, there's no announcer curses, but it seems like they have impeccable timing when it's in play. So it's one of those deals that it feels like it, because when they do it, it's in the most, you know, it's tie game, 30 seconds left. He hasn't missed a field goal in 25 tries from inside 30 yards, and clank. That's just how these things work. So
Younghoe Koo, that was him this week. You know?
Mr. Automatic, and was not close.
I think it's one of my favorite Dr. Pepperville commercials, you know, is the goofy guy saying, oh, he's automatic, he'll never miss this. And then he misses. And then they say, you said he missed. And then they're like, oh, yeah, what are you going to do, arrest me? And then he's in the cop car. Boz. Well,
there's always the one that's the free throws. You know, this guy has made, you know, 15 straight free throws, and then he misses both of them. Ball don't lie, that kind of thing. So
that one drives me the most insane. It is, you know, and they do it to Harden all the time, and I've probably seen it more for Harden than anyone else, because he goes the line more than anyone else. Yeah. But you know, Harden on a, you know, he's made 16 in a row tonight, and the clank. I mean, it's like without fail, it happens. But it got brought up because the Welsh, you know, before we started recording hour two, he said, you know, I don't know how I'm so great, but kids got sick, wife got sick, mother-in-law had a cold. Everyone in my house has been sick except me. And I was like, what are you doing? Knock on all the wood that is in your house, because you're definitely getting sick now as soon as you say some of that nonsense, right?
Oh, yeah. No, he's I'll call him tomorrow or the next day, and I'm pretty sure he'll be sniffing all through the phone call. He got himself good right there.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, yeah, well, next week when you guys are listening to this and it's 3 hours of Bogman and Bubba, you guys know exactly what happened. Is the Welsh is out sick, of course. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of these Padres moves with Bubba. We've got to get his take on these. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I am Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by my friend El Casey Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter. And Casey, tell everyone where they can find all of your great work on the interwebs.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at BDentric, and you'll see it tweeted out there many, many times, but doing my seasonal fantasy baseball rankings right now at fantasysportsdegens.com. I'm doing written content for NFL DFS, MLB DFS, and season-long fantasy baseball at rotoballer.com. I have the Benched with Bubba podcast pumping out twice a week to get your fantasy baseball needs met there. Golf returns next week, so that always pressing podcast will be back. Plus, if you're getting ready for the fantasy baseball season, the Fantasy Black Book, where I wrote the first and third base previews, and to go along with the Welsh in there, Sporer, and Mr. Joe Pisapia, and many, many others. So go check that out as well.
Yeah. It's a great book. Time to pick it up right now. Get ahead of everybody in your leagues. And we had a lot of baseball movement this past week here, because it's been a relatively dead offseason, and really the Padres are you know, getting the first dominoes to fall here. They traded for Blake Snell on, I believe that was Saturday, and or Sunday, maybe it was. And then they signed Kim, the Korean shortstop, to come over and play second base for them. Tatis didn't get moved off of short, so he'll play second. So Cronenworth back to the bench, it looks like now, although he'll get playing time everywhere pretty much. And if they have the DH, he'll probably play third or something. We'll see. But he'll play in the outfield, something. But then we got, Yu Darvish traded to them as well. So it just stacks this whole squad. Welsh and I were talking about it, that they are now fifth on FanDuel as far as World Series odds go. Can you name the other four teams?
Dodgers, Yankees.
Yep.
I know I'm blanking out here. Other four teams, Dodgers, Yankees. Let's go with the Astros still.
Nope. Astros are behind them.
Okay, that's interesting. Dodgers, Yankees is great radio, but I'm going to get to that, I promise. Dodgers, Yankees, and wow, this is the
race. One AL, one NL.
Are the Rays still getting love?
No, they're minus 1600. I think they're the next team behind the Padres at this point.
The Braves.
Braves are in there. And yeah, the last one, I'll just give it to you because it's going to be tough. It's the White Sox.
I was wondering if they were getting that much love. That's good. That's good to see.
Yeah, they are. And I think their odds might be the same with the Padres at this point. They're both like minus 1,000. So I remember the Rays being in there at minus 1,600. And
I was a year early. I was claiming last year I wanted a White Sox Padres let the bat flips begin World Series. I was a year early, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be. The Padres are going to be a fun team to watch. I know a lot of people are thinking maybe they would be more favored than the Dodgers, but the Dodgers still have the love, of course, and they still have the money and all that great stuff. But, we can't move Darvish up much. He's already at pick 17 overall on NFBC ADP. Who's coming up out of, or are you moving Snell up? I think he's around 50 right now. Does he get a bump because he gets out of Tampa Bay, where they really limit guys to two times through the order and all that good stuff? Or is he kind of standing pat at where he is?
I'm not ready to move him just yet because my biggest concern with Blake Snell is the injuries. And he's got quite the slew of injury histories year in and year out. So that's a big concern to me. I could be wrong. It feels like it's one of those years that I'm just going to miss out if Snell gets it done. The Padres have the depth, like they'll let him go, unlike the Rays, but they also have depth like the Rays, where they can kind of baby him at times if they want to, pitching wise. So it'll be interesting to see there. Snell already had his press conference and he came out saying it was straight jabs at the Rays that I'm looking forward to pitching in the seventh inning on a regular basis to see what I can do and show others what I can do as well. So that was interesting, but I just don't see it. Some smarter minds than myself, they've been able to search on Baseball Reference and fan graphs. And even when he used to pitch into the third time through a batting order, it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't good at all. So they were doing it for a reason, and we'll see if the Padres make the same mistake.
Yeah, and it's, I agree with them in some respects of where, like in that playoff game, I'm not taking him out.
No.
That's not something I'm going to do, even if it is the third time through the order. He was cruising, so... a lot of that has to do with feel, of course, but I like him getting out of Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay does limit it. Tampa Bay just limits everyone's upside pretty much. They're going to do different things in their rotation. They're going to do different things in the lineup seemingly every day. They kind of invented this opener nonsense that we have now. So, they're just a different organization than most teams in MLB. So whenever you can get a stud player away from that team and onto someone else's team, I think they're going to take a little bit of a bump up. But, like I said, for Darvish, you can't move him up anymore, right? Like, he's already in the top 20. You're not going to bump him up that much, if any, right?
Yeah, no, he's not moving at all. And I'm a huge Darvish fan. I mean, you were a big Darvish fan like last year and everything. It's one of those, every time I'm drafting, I see his name, is it too rich at that point in the draft for a guy that he's been great for a year and a half, but he's also going to be 35 this year. There's a lot of question marks in play. I was actually writing them up for a Roto Baller, and I was shocked to see that Wrigley Field was actually a better ballpark to pitch in than Petco Park. That surprised me quite a bit. So it's one of those deals where I still think he's going to be very good. Don't get me wrong. They got his personal catcher and Caratini over. They'll help him quite a bit. So I can't move him up at all. I could see arguments to move him back a bit, but I think those arguments were in play even before the trade. So it's a great trade for the Padres. I think these moves are better real-life baseball moves than fantasy moves for the most part. But, you know, you and I think, both agree that if it's not the D-backs or the Giants, we'll root for the Padres to take down the Dodgers. So go get him, A.J. Preller. Keep spending money. And I know you guys probably hit on it with the Welsh because he's Mr. Prospect Guru. These guys did all this with still keeping like their top, four or five prospects at least. Like, it's crazy how deep the Padres were. They built this minor league system for over all this time, and they're finally getting to use it. And this is what you do. You use it like this when you have the other chips in place, and you go big, and that's what they're doing. So more props to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest detriment in dynasty leagues right now has got to be Mackenzie Gore, because Gore didn't get moved to a different team. And now this rotation is stacked for the Padres. So if he doesn't make it up this year, Clevinger is going to come back next year after his TJ surgery too.
Well, the thing I'll say, and this is me trying not to be too narcissistic, but you have Clevinger, who seems to be hurt a lot. You have Snell, who's got the past history we talked about. You have Lamet, who's already hurt as it is. You have Chris Paddock, who can't figure out a third pitch. There's going to be chances for Morahone and Gore and company to get their feet wet and either establish themselves or get traded. So I wouldn't be scared just yet, but I see what you're saying, because in a perfect world, the rotation is absolutely loaded if all things stay the same.
Right. I mean, you throw Clevinger in there and then get Gore next year, and you just have extra pieces laying around.
Like,
which
Paddock,
is
a two-pitch pitcher, should maybe go to the bullpen. Like, go to the bullpen, be effective for a couple innings, and roll. Like, guys, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's a luxury, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a luxury. So hopefully we get more moves happening. Like, what do you think the next big move that's going to happen? Like, when are we going to get that? Well, is it going to be like, today is the first, wink, wink, obviously, but what other moves do you see coming down?
I think we'll see some coming up. You know, all the international signings have to be done, I think, by the 7th or the 8th of January, 9th, maybe something like that. So get those big moves coming in. And then mid-January, I think we start to really roll into it. And February will be cranking up big time. But hey, the Cubs are already saying they're shopping Contreras pretty heavily right now. I don't know why they're fire selling, but they are. If I'm a Cubs fan, enjoy 2016. It might be 100 more years. So it's rough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be as mean-spirited as Bubba was just there. But yeah, I'm with you. I didn't get it either. I felt like they had enough of a young core to not give up. But Darvish is definitely the first piece, so it seems like it is going to be a fire sale in Chicago. And to me, that's just owners being cheap. You know, it's they lost money in the pandemic, and now they're absolutely burning it down to the ground. But when we come back, we're going to get to some football talk. We're going to talk about some clinching scenarios, get to our bets and all that good stuff. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, In This League on the Sports Grid. If you would, please check out the ITL Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We got all kinds of stuff going on for you over there. We got baseball rankings. We've got basketball shows. We have football stuff. I'm going to do new dynasty rankings for the 2021 season coming up in January. We have GroupMe rooms. We have secret shows. We got everything you could possibly want over there. The Welsh is gigantic, over 500 player dynasty minor league player list as well. So all kinds of stuff and things over at patreon.com/ITL Army for you. Please check it out if you would. You get in there for super cheap, and it helps keep our shows going. So please check that out if you would. A lot of, obviously, week 17, there's always clinching scenarios. We got some things wrapped up already, Bubba. I mean, the Chiefs have the first round bye. The Bills won the East. The Steelers won the North, surprisingly to me. But we still have, and then in the NFC, you know, the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks have all clinched the division. Tampa Bay clinched a playoff spot, but they'll definitely be playing on the road. So we're still waiting to see if the Cardinals or Rams will get in. That's basically a playoff game in and of itself. The Bears control their own destiny against Green Bay. And in the East, we're going to get one of, you know, Dallas and the Giants play each other. One of those, whoever wins, then we'll have a shot should Washington lose on Sunday Night Football. So lots of scenarios still to play out this year. How do you see, let's start out with the AFC. We know we've got Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Buffalo are all clinched and in, but that leaves four other spots. Who are your AFC playoff makers here?
I got Baltimore getting past Cincy. Shocker. Big easy. Shocker there.
Right.
I think Cleveland gets past Mason Rudolph and company. I really do. So I got Cleveland. I'm going to be homer here, but the Dolphins facing a Buffalo team that will sit pretty much everybody. I'm going to take Miami in that one. Just going to go on a limb there. And then I think Tennessee gets it done at Houston. So those will be my four teams getting in.
Yeah, so the Colts on the outside looking in because they choked the game away against Pittsburgh. It was a brutal loss for the Colts. I was very happy that my Steelers came back and won. And it was, you know, I don't know how much of the game you watched, Bubba, but it was like as soon as Deontay Johnson caught that bomb touchdown, it was that was when the Steelers offense started clicking and the defense picked it up and started forcing turnovers and stuff like that. So, I mean, just it's going to be crazy. Like if the Bears make the playoffs in the NFC and the Colts or Titans, one of them, don't make it in the AFC, it's just going to be an absolute shock. So in the NFC, Bub, do the Packers win and get that first round bye?
Yeah, I got Green Bay doing it. I've said it all year on the show. If you've listened long enough, Aaron Rodgers on a mission and home field in Lambeau. You saw Sunday night's Sunday night in the snow. Get the postseason. It'll be fun.
All right. So then let's go to we know that the Saints win the South. The Seahawks have won the West. Who wins the East?
Who wins the East? This is the fun one because you got Alex Smith or former XFL quarterback Hinkie under center for Washington now. So that gets interesting. Man alive. I'm gonna go because Hurts is playing for Philly. This is like it's embarrassing that this is this difficult with these teams.
I was watching NFL Network earlier today and Matt Money Smith and I can't remember the other guy's name. My apologies, but they were showing like their picks from week 10 of the NFC East and it changed like every week. Like, who are you taking this week? Well, I got to take Philly and then I got to take Dallas. And then now the Giants are looking good. Now Washington is peaking right now. They just beat Pittsburgh. Like they've had a different pick all the way through and it's been all four teams. They both picked all four teams at some point in the season. So this is 1 week.
I'm going Dallas. I'm just doing it because I believe that Dalton's actually clicking right now. The last few weeks, he's using everybody besides Cooper, which is big. But it's tough, man. It's Washington should get it, especially if Smith suits up, but it's all over the board. It's bad because you know one of these teams is going to get a home field game, and they're going to knock somebody out in the first round.
No, they're not. They're not going to knock anybody out in the first round. And maybe the Bears, you know, if they played the Bears.
Hey, Mitchell, everyone wants to talk all the trash they want about Mr. Mitchell Trubisky there. But since they finally started running the offense that suits their quarterback, what a concept. It's actually looked good.
Well, I know you're not talking to me because I've been the defender.
No. So, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like everybody else. And you know what I'm talking about because it's
yeah.
It's, you know, all the people want to refer to is his tweet when he's at North Carolina that says, "Give me some titties." That was his tweet there. And that's all you see everywhere. So the kid can play.
Yeah, that was also 2011. Like
exactly.
How old was he?
I'm glad I didn't know what social media was in 2011. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Good Lord. So, yeah, man. I hope the Bears make it. I think Green Bay stomps them, so I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. But, you know, whoever wins this game, whoever wins this division, whether it should be Washington, which that's going to be my pick. I think that It's not about trusting Washington. It's about hating what Doug Peterson has done with the Eagles this year. I despise it. I think he's had a terrible game plan almost every single week. Yep. He got lucky putting Hurts in and teams not having film on him and winning. But Dallas came out and stomped them last week. I think Washington.
Well, Philly went out to what, the 14-0 lead, and then Dallas stomped them.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So I love Dallas. I think they definitely beat the Giants, and we'll get into our bets, obviously, in a little bit here. But I'm going to take Washington to win, but they're going to play Tampa Bay in round one, and Tampa Bay is going
to
roll.
How sweet would it be to watch Tommy Brady get knocked out in the first round?
Oh, I didn't say I was going to be rooting for Tampa Bay, but I did say that Tampa Bay.
And, you know, the NFL needs the Washington football team to make a playoff run after changing the name and everything. It'd be so 2020.
All of this Dan Snyder stuff, too. It's unbelievable. Now, it's
ridiculous.
Now the 40%, like the people who own the 40%, this is a very weird story and it's convoluted. And I apologize if I.
Most Dan Snyder stories are, though, let's be honest.
100%. But I apologize if I misconstrue anything or misrepresent or missay something here. But how I understand it from the things that I've read is that the people that own 40% of the franchise, it's a group, they've been trying to get out from under this team for about a year and a half. But because they invested, Daniel Snyder has the right to reject their sale to whoever they want to sell to, and he wants them to stay. So every time they make an agreement to sell their 40% share, he rejects it. So because of this, now he is saying that that group is leaking bad stories about him into the press. So this settlement that got done in 2009, you know, they signed an NDA for it. This is why we haven't heard of it until now. Apparently one of them did some private investigating, got into the background, and then leaked this story to the public to make him look bad, even though he already looks bad because of the other 15 sexual harassment cases against Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team that were placed earlier this year. And then they changed the team name right as soon as those came out to change the narrative of what the media was talking about. So, you know, and look, we're to blame for that. We did the same thing. We, of course, railed on the name and thought about what other names they could come out with. But, you know, it is ugly. And I don't know how we can go into this offseason with Snyder still owning an NFL team. Like, I feel like Adele has to step up and do something here, right?
We say that every offseason, though. It's crazy. Like last offseason, wasn't it the information about the sex scandals and the sexual harassment, and still he no peeps, keeps his job.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter what he does. He's got pictures on someone, and he just keeps his job. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So all right. So in the NFC, the other clinching spot, the Rams or Cardinals are going to get a spot. They play each other this week. If the Cardinals win, they eliminate the Rams. If the Rams win, they eliminate the Cardinals. So,
well, I think the Rams win, and that gets Chicago in even with a loss.
So the Rams win. Mm-hmm. Okay, then Chicago gets in even with a loss. But Goff is not playing. He's out with the broken thumb. So, and he had surgery on it this week. And I love how the dude has surgery on his thumb, and they're like, he's questionable for this week. Dude ain't going to play. Come on, man. He just had surgery on his thumb, and he's a quarterback. Like, if he's a defensive lineman, put a giant cast on it, have him knock down passes. You know, who cares? This is a QB. The dude ain't going to play. So you think that the Rams, even with John Wolford and Blake Bortles backing him up, are going to beat we're still in question on whether Murray is going to play or not this week. I assume he's going. You know, I think
he has to, or they have no chance.
Right, exactly. So I think he's going to end up playing. So I'm going to take the Cardinals. You're still taking the Rams?
I'm going to take the Rams, yeah. But this is what's so crazy about picking games, you know, on the first like we're doing right now, that there's so much news that still is to be broken that we might not have yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And I said about this game in hour two with the Welsh, we reserve the right to change our opinion on that game depending on whether we get – quarterback announcements or not. And, and there's a couple teams with quarterback announcements. We're going to have to see what your Dolphins are doing at QB because Tua got benched and Fitzpatrick came in and led the comeback win. I, I think Tua is going to end up playing and starting, and because they want him to play the playoff game. You know, they get in, they want the rookie and the new face of the franchise to get that playoff experience so he has it, even if they should go into wherever and get blown out by whoever, you know. But Miami's good enough to make some noise in the playoffs, too, so we'll see. But we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to pick all of these games, every single one of the games this week with Bubba, because there's no Monday night, there's no Thursday night, there's no Friday, there's no Saturday games. Every single game is on Sunday because they do that for, you know, fairness going into the playoffs. So we will be running through all the games right after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid in the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. Follow us on Twitter at Bogdan Sports for me, at BD Entrick for KC, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Now, we are picking these games. Looking at last week, Bub, we did okay. You did better than me overall. You were 9-5 against spread, 7-7 on the over-unders. Welsh and I were both terrible on the over-unders. I was 8-6 against the spread. Welsh was the best of all of us at 11-3 against the spread. That's how you know it's getting to the end of the year, you know. And the Welsh hit his three-team parlay.
Definitely know it's end of times. Yes,
that's right. I got two pieces. Now I took the Cleveland game off of our stuff because we didn't know that the Browns were going to be missing everyone except for Marvin Hall at the wide receiver position. So I got rid of that one. And that was part of my parlay too. So I got the other two right though. Now Welsh said, who do you think he would have taken? And I probably would have taken the Colts. So, cause I was so not confident.
Is your masochist? Yes.
In my Steelers, of course. Well, they were bad. They were playing terrible.
They still are bad. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah. The first half, they were awful. So I got way more confidence after that second half against the Colts. I think, If you can beat Indy at, you know, not 100%, and there's going to be healthy guys. And just think about this team. You know, non-Steeler fans have pointed this out to me as well. You know, I get so focused and hardwired and not making excuses for my team. There are some excuses. They really haven't had a bye week. Bye week four, and they practice all week for Tennessee. It's not a real bye week. So
they had it rough, and they had three games in like 12 days and stuff. They've not had it easy. There's no doubt about
that. Right, exactly. So, you know, not going to make excuses. Like Tomlin says, the standard is the standard. We don't live in our fears. All the Tomlin cliches. I can go through all of them, but I won't. So let's just get to these bets here, Bubba. And the first one is Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Tampa Bay is a 6.5-point favorite. 50.5 is the over. How do you see that one going?
With Tampa Bay trying to lock up, they're not going to get home field because of Green Bay, but Atlanta, I think, is finally getting rid of throwing it in the towel. So give me Tampa Bay, but give me the under in this one.
Tampa Bay and the under in that one. And Atlanta played Kansas City real hard last week, too. So I get it. I took Tampa Bay just because I think Tampa Bay needs to get tuned up and they get Ronald Jones back and all that good stuff. How about Baltimore at Cincinnati? Baltimore is an 11.5-point favorite. 44.5 is the over, but since he's been playing spoiler here. So how do you see that one going?
Yeah, I've been rolling Cincy the last couple of weeks, but I'm taking Baltimore in this one, but I'll take the over because I think Cincy put some points up, but Baltimore by at least 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think, you know, they got a win to get in. They got a lot on the line. They're going to put up points. Yeah. Cowboys on the road against those Giants. Dallas -3, 44.5 is the over. I'm assuming you're taking Dallas since you picked them to win the division. Over or under on this game, though?
Yeah, the Red Rifle getting that W in New York City. And give me the over because both defenses aren't the greatest. So give me Dallas, give me the over in this one.
By the way, I think it was RotoWorld today was pointing out the target totals under Andy Dalton. And it's 56 to Cooper, 54 to Gallup, 53 to Lamb. So
it's been beautiful. If you're playing DFS, I've been playing CeeDee and Gallup pretty much every week, and it's been glorious.
Yeah, they've been putting up numbers. Oh, yeah. And Andy Dalton is he's on one of those nice runs. You know, Andy Dalton is I've always called him the bare minimum of what you want in a starting quarterback in the NFL. This is what you want is Andy Dalton. So, you know, if your defense plays well enough, you can win a Super Bowl with him. Don't think we're going to get that out of Dallas this year, but they are playing well. Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo is a 1-point favorite. We're recording this a little bit early, so we don't really know what is going on with Buffalo as far as their resting situation. But how do you see this one going?
After they stomped a mud hole in New England, as I predicted last week. Oh, man. Sorry. Can we cut that out?
Yeah.
My freaking dog's sneezing over here.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, as we predicted last week, Buffalo stumped a mud hole in New England. So they get to rest this week, as they did last year in week 17. So give me Miami with whatever points as they win this game.
So Miami and I'm sorry, did you say over or under? Oh no, there
we don't have one yet.
Yeah, you're right. Minnesota at Detroit. Minnesota by 6.5. 54.5 is the over on that one.
This one's a little trickier to me because it just seems like two messes of football teams right now. Stafford healthy, is he not? Give me Detroit plus 6.5 and give me the over in this one.
I mean, you've gone, I feel like Detroit has dogged you for a couple weeks. They didn't get it done against Tampa Bay. Did you take them the week before? You took them against Tennessee and that didn't work. Let me see.
That was a healthy Stafford thing. I keep saying if Stafford doesn't play, I don't want him. But that's the caveat there.
You got them against Green Bay. You had them then. I just keep going to look to see. You pick Detroit almost every week. You took them against Chicago, and they got you that one too. So I don't know. I got no faith in Detroit right now. I feel like they're packing it in. Your coach is gone. All that good stuff. Yep. I can't take it. I'm taking Minnesota in the under. The Jets at New England. New England somehow are 3-point home favorites, and 40 is the over on that one.
Right now, folks, if you're listening to this live, the Jets are Adam Gaseless now. So keep that in mind. Jets plus 3. Give me the over. Cam Newton can't even finish a football game 2 straight weeks. Jets and the over.
Yeah, I am also taking the Jets. Hey, and it doesn't matter. They win this game, they get the number 2 pick. It doesn't make any difference. They can't move by winning this game. So I think everyone wants to stick it to New England after years and years of disappointment against them. So I'm with you. You said over or under. I'm sorry.
Over 40 on that one.
Over on that one. Cleveland hosting Pittsburgh. They are 10-point favorites. 42 is the over.
Like I said earlier, Cleveland wins this football game, but give me Pittsburgh plus 10. Even with Rudolph, they're not going to get smoked like this. Pittsburgh plus 10, and give me the under 42.
I took the under as well, but I did take Cleveland because I think it's not just going to be Ben. I think it's going to be T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, maybe Stephon Tuitt, a bunch of guys. Deontay a little banged up, getting rested in this game for Pittsburgh, especially because they might play Cleveland in the playoffs the next week. So I think we're going to see base formations and lots of backups in this game. So I am taking Cleveland, but they have been known to disappoint. Tennessee at Houston. They are 7.5-point favorites, 56, the highest over of the week, because neither one of these teams are playing any defense right now. Who do you got?
Yeah, I want to take this over so bad. I'm going to take the under in this one and give me Houston plus 7.5. Tennessee wins this football game, but Houston keeps it within a touchdown. So Houston under.
Yeah, you've been on Houston the last couple weeks too. I took Tennessee. That's just too much on the line. I think they roll right over Houston. But it was a pretty good speech by J.J. Watt about his teammates. So
there was a great speech. That.
How about the Cardinals and Rams? The Rams are 1-point favorite. No line on this because we don't know about Kyler Murray yet.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams in this one, minus 1, but I really wouldn't bet this game at all.
Yeah, I do not blame you at all. We don't know what to expect out of you, Sylvester and then Wolford, if it is both of those guys in this game. We know it's Wolford for the Rams. Green Bay at Chicago. Green Bay, a 5.5-point favorite. 52 is the over in that game.
Green Bay, over. Aaron Rodgers locks up the MVP this week. Mitchell plays well, but not well enough. Green Bay wins by at least a touchdown and goes over.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago, we've been riding them, and they've been on a hot streak. And I expect them to put up points here. But Green Bay, you know, this is kind of where I went with this, talking to the Welsh about it, was I think Tennessee is better than Chicago. and Tennessee just got smoked by Green Bay. So I think Green Bay wins this one going away, locks up that number one seed. The Colts are 14-point favorites at home against Jacksonville, who has not won since week one. 50 points is the over. How do you see that one going?
And they're not going to win again this week, but the Colts aren't going to blow any teams out, really. So I'm taking Jacksonville plus 14 in this one. It'll be a comfortable game for the Colts, but Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, they're just going to run the ball. Give me Jacksonville and give me the under 50 in this one.
Under 50. I went with the Colts in the over. I think they're pissed at what happened to them last week. You know, in the second half there.
Going around there from Philip Rivers.
I am so sick of Philip Rivers. I am so sick of seeing his dumb face screaming at people. I can't stand that dude. So
who retires first, Rivers or Ben?
Ben. I think Rivers just
that's alimony checks.
Yeah, Rivers is gonna play till they drag his ass off the field. Yep. So, but Ben has talked about retirement every year since like 6 years ago. So, the Raiders on the road against Denver, they are 2.5-point road favorites. 50.5 is the over on that one.
Raiders are the better football team. It doesn't always matter when these two teams meet, but give me the Raiders minus 2.5 and give me the under 50.5 on this one. I think it's another ugly football game that we should expect in almost every Denver football game.
Yeah, I took Denver in the over. This is another one I would not bet. So, you know, when there's nothing on the line for either team, it's hard to, and I was saying this about our DFS picks too, it's hard to invest in those teams because it's, you know, anyone hurts a little fingy, little toe injury, you know, sit down. This is the last one of the year. We're not going to lose you next year. How about, speaking of sitting down, Kansas City wholesale benches coming in. Big line changes, all that good stuff. So the Chargers are road favorites in Kansas City by 3.5. 43.5 is the over.
Part of me still wants to take the Chiefs because it's the Chargers and Anthony Lynn. But I'll go to the Chargers as Herbert's better than this. Give me Chargers. Give me the over in this one.
Chargers and the over. Three more games to go. The Saints are playing at Carolina. They are 6.5-point favorites. 47.5 is the over in that game.
Carolina plus 6.5 and give me the over 47.5.
Carolina and the over. I will say that's like that is the one game where the Saints are going to know if Green Bay won or not. So if Green Bay wins, they might just let Winston play quarterback this week. So we'll see. But I think those games are separate times. I believe Green Bay is an early game and New Orleans is a night game. Let me just double check that as we're talking about this. So no, actually they're on at the same time. That's my bad. So Green Bay, I'm just not used to so many games playing in the afternoon.
Beautiful.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 afternoon games this week. So very, very surprising. I'm going to stick with New Orleans. Does that change your mind at all? Are you going to go New Orleans?
No, I'll go Carolina still.
All right. Seattle on the road at San Francisco. They are 5.5-point favorites. 46.5 is the over in this game.
Give me Seattle minus 5.5. The Niners just a mess. And give me the under 46.5.
Seattle and the under. We are lockstep on that one. And for all the marbles for the NFC East division, the NFC least, as many have called it this year, no one really looking forward to this game. Philly and Washington, two teams under 500, flexed into Sunday Night Football with playoff implications. Bubba, how do you see this one playing out? Washington, a 1.5-point road favorite on the road against Philly. 43.5 is the over.
Philadelphia gets the W, plus 1.5, Philadelphia, and over 43.5. It is an ugly football game that Jalen Hurts gets the win for.
How dirty do you feel taking Doug Peterson's Philadelphia Eagles?
Not as dirty as I feel like taking Anthony Lynn's Chargers.
So you've got the Cowboys making the playoffs then?
Yep. Cowboys are getting in. Andy Dalton. The redheaded soulless ginger is running wild in the playoffs.
It is absolutely feasible, and they are playing good right now. So the Cowboys making the playoffs, I guess less shocking things have happened, but if you would have told me 6 weeks ago they made the playoffs, I would have been like, wow, well, I guess everyone else tanked. They're playing well, though. So
they're playing well, and the narrative of Dalton got us there, Dak, we don't have to pay, he's going to be so much fun.
Oh, I hope, dude, I'd say my dream scenario is that – you know, Ben retires, the Cowboys don't want Dak, and we give Dak all of Ben's money. That's what I want. So get Dak to Pittsburgh. I'll take that all day long. Now, don't kill me, Cowboys fans. I'm not wishing it. I would hope it happens, but I think Dak will end up back in Dallas. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll end it out with the three-team parlay from Bubba. Stick with us. We'll be right back after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
We are back. You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Like I said before, if you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITLArmy. You know, it's the beginning of the new month and the new year. I would love to have you guys support ITL as we step forward into our future. We got baseball season coming up. We're in the middle of basketball. Got a lot of prospects to do deep dives in for the NFL. The Welsh is doing his minor league list. Got tons of mock drafts coming up for baseball. We are going to be having so much fun in 2021 now that we are back to, you know, somewhat normalcy in our sports right now. Hopefully by the end of the year, we get back to total and complete normalcy, full crowds, all that good stuff to make it more and more fun. But we got a parlay to get from you, Bubba. So what is it going to be? I'll tell you right now, the Welsh has Tennessee minus 7.5. I've got the Colts minus 14 as my leg of the picks here. So what is your parlay and what is your ITL pick? We'll do that first. We hit it last week. We got it.
Oh, beautiful. My ITL pick is Dallas minus 3.
Dallas minus 3. I have that in my parlay. So I really, really like that one. So what are the other two legs of your three-team parlay?
My other two legs, Green Bay, Chicago over 52, and Chargers minus 3.5. Feels like cheating, but I have to.
And the Chargers minus 3.5. So, all right. So Bubba's is Dallas minus 3, and that is your ITL parlay pick. Green Bay, Chicago over, and the Chargers minus 3.5. I like it. So I am excited for playoffs. I mean, how about those college football bowl games yesterday? Woo! Those were awesome, weren't they?
Oh, just what we love on a New Year's Day. It's absolutely beautiful. Tradition. Man,
that was something.
The Rose Bowl in Arlington, like I always drew it up.
It was real crazy, and we definitely are not recording before that.
Looking forward to Alabama-Clemson title game.
Yeah, I mean, you just write that in anyway. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us. We hope you guys had a great new year. We're moving onward in 2021, onward and upward. FU 2020, you are old news. We are done with it. So we hope you guys enjoy it, and we will see you guys back here next week. Take it easy, everybody.